Pam, put it back to the last picture. It took me a while to figure out what that was. It's bread, isn't it? Yeah, I know it's a Bible, but it looks like a piece of bread. You know, that's what I thought it was. And it's the Bible says, you know, that we're supposed to eat the word for, to get it. Okay, it's a rock, whatever. We'll have to do some research on that. I'm just kidding. Anyways, thanks. Thank you, worship team, for just drawing us into the worship of God this morning. And also those who do the technical aspect of it. Thank you. Who's back there? Dallas. Okay, good. Thank you so much, guys. And welcome, those of you that just came in. We are a small little family here, and we're just happy that you've come to worship this morning with us. We invite you to either use your iPhone or your iPad or your Bible. There's one in the pew in front of you if you'd like to do that. This morning I want to reflect a little on Father. When you think of the word Father, what comes into your mind? Lots of different things, right? What are some of the attributes? What are some of the things that we say or we think about our fathers? And I just put a couple of things. I put strong, faithful, kind, wise, helpful. And there's a lot of them. And I think the people that make Father's Day cards and birthday cards sit and spend a lot of time trying to come up with nice little things to say about fathers. And I got to thinking, actually, this Father's Day is probably one of the more meaningful ones in my life. I think probably the most meaningful one was when my first son was born. And I suddenly realized that I was now I was no longer just one of the dudes, that I was actually a father. And it was a scary thing, because suddenly I realized now that I had to be good and show a good example. No, I remember thinking, you know, as I carried, it was just a little guy, and carrying him around the mall the first time, and he was only probably a week old, maybe not even that, and I had one of these big coats, big sheepskin coats, and I stuck him down inside there, and you couldn't even see him. Nobody even knew I was carrying this baby, and every so often somebody would stop and look at me, and I go, yeah, I'm pregnant. but you know, I became so attached, obviously, to that little guy. And I talked to him probably every week or every other week. And I suddenly realized that my family is expanding. As you know, my younger boy had a little baby a few weeks ago. Actually, a little over a week ago. 2 weeks, I guess. And Caden is a real sweetheart, and I have to actually sign up to hold him, because there's a lot of people ahead of me, you know. For example, the mother, obviously, then the father, and then my wife. And so far, I haven't had to fight with the relatives, expanded family, so I stand in line, you know. I'm the last on the pecking order there. But I got to hold him this last week I got to feed him and hold him, and then when he filled his diapers, Grandma took him. Now, actually, his dad did. That's amazing. His dad took him. So I'm bonding now to a new grandson, and as I look back over the years, and I think about what it was like to be a father, and then I reflected on my father and my grandfather, who I knew, and then I knew my great-grandfather through the words of other people, stories that they told. I never met my great-grandfather, and everything I heard about him were wonderful things. In fact, everywhere I would go when I was younger, I was traveling with a gospel singing group, and people would come up to me and say, you know, your grandfather prayed for me, and I was healed. Or your grandfather was such a wonderful man. Your grandfather this. And I would say, well, which one are you talking about? Because they were both ministers. Are you talking about Ralph or are you talking about Albert? And they would say, oh, well, Ralph. And then some years later, I would hear stories about my grandfather, Albert. And I've accumulated a feeling or a sense of the greatness. I'm bragging a little bit this morning. Please allow me. The greatness of my lineage, my great-grandfather forward is all I really know. And how stories of their missionary journeys in Indonesia and Burma and how my great-great-grandfather, I had to read about this. I did some research on Oberlin University and discovered that my great-grandfather was involved in a great revival that started in that area in Ohio, and how they would have what they called haystack prayer meetings after their big meetings in the university or the college there. It was a Christian school. They were so filled with the Spirit that they couldn't stop, and so they would go out into the fields and they would burrow into the haystacks, big, huge, you know, haystacks. They would burrow into the middle of the haystacks and they would continue their prayer in the middle of the haystack all night long. And eventually that led to my great-grandfather dedicating his life to be a missionary in the country of Indonesia and Burma. And that started a whole line of people, men and women, dedicating their lives to serving God. So I'm thankful for my great-grandfather, my grandfather, my father. And I got to thinking now, it's interesting because we as Christians, we call God our Heavenly Father. So if for some sad reason your father doesn't match up to the cards that you send him, or maybe you don't send any cards, that's sad. If that's true, and I know it is for some people, my heart goes out to you, but I want to let you know and I want to encourage you that we really do have Heavenly Father and that He is the Father of all of us. Doesn't matter what country you come from, doesn't matter the color of skin, it doesn't matter what languages you speak, you have a Heavenly Father. And what really cements for me that is the fact that He clearly states in the passage today that He loves us. And I recognize, because I have family members, that we're fathers, but we're not loving fathers. And those of you that understand that know how sad that can be and how that can hurt your heart and hurt your life, in a sense. But I want to encourage you that this Father, the Father of the universe that we live in, the Father of the planet that we live on, the Father that loved us even though He didn't know us, He loved us so much that He was willing to give His very best, which was His Son. Now, I've thought about that an awful lot. I remember when my oldest son was born, and I got to thinking and reflecting as I would sit there in the rocking chair at 2 o'clock in the morning, and he's going, ah, you know. And, of course, we didn't know what colic was. We had, you know, colic. We had to call my mother the next morning and say, why won't it stop crying? And she would go through a checklist, and we'd go, oh, okay, we know what it is now. But when you're new parents, you don't always have all that information. You learn that information. But I can remember sitting there in the rocking chair and thinking, wow, how did He give His Son? I couldn't do it. I only knew Him for a few hours, and immediately I said, there's no way that I would ever let this child be harmed in any way. I would become one mean, nasty killing machine, not a killing machine, but I wouldn't allow my son to be harmed in any way. And I only knew him a few hours, and he wasn't my wife doesn't like when I said, he wasn't the most beautiful baby. She goes, that's not true. No, every baby is beautiful to every mother. But I will say one thing. The one that was just born a few weeks ago is absolutely perfect, gorgeous. Absolutely. Shouldn't use the word gorgeous on a little boy, but he is one handsome little guy. And already I can tell you he looks a lot like his dad. But he's got his mom too. You can see kind of both. But he's just one handsome little guy. But Rick, when Rick was born, my oldest, it only took a few days and he all of a sudden became really handsome. And he's really handsome now too. But the point being, I'm bragging on my family here, so please allow me to do that. The point being, how in the world did God, and remember last week or was it the week before when I said, you know, I'm convinced that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that God couldn't stand it. And so he waited for Mary to feed him and change his diapers and go to sleep. And after Mary was asleep and Joseph was asleep, I think God came down and picked him up and held him for a little while. Come on. Really? I mean, God has a heart. And it says God is love. In fact, Jesus defined his father as love. That is his total summation of who he is. He is love. His kingdom is love. The angels are love. He's associated with love. We try to dice him and parse him out and make him out to be a lot of other things. That's fine, but everything that God is a spin-off from the core of who he is, and that is he's love. Okay? And please don't define love in human terms. Humans are messed up when it comes to love. I mean, we mess with it all the time. And it gets worse and worse. Go back to what God's word says. Okay? God is love. You know, the Greeks are the ones that took the word love and said, well, there's agape love, and there's eros love, and there's horneo love, and there's all kinds of different types of love. It's the Greeks that did that. Hebrews don't believe that. They don't define God. They don't dice him up and say, well, he's this and this and this. They say, God is love. All right? And anything that doesn't reflect his love is not of God. Got it? Simple as that. It's black and white. Okay? It's darkness and light. It's not yin and yang. Yin and yang says they all mix together and you have this mud, this slop. That's what yin and yang's about. No, God is love. There's no ifs, there's no buts, there's no defining, there's no all this other peripheral stuff. He is the very source. And he is love. Everything that happens to us is through God's grace and God's love for us. The universe revolves. Marty was sharing with me some of the, he likes to study the stars at night. And do you go out every night or every other night at least? I like to go out. I like to go out in our backyard and I like to just stand there and just look at those stars. Wow. Beautiful. It's quiet. Way in the distance you hear a coyote or two. And I just look at the stars and I think, man, how awesome is God? How loving. And then as they've been building houses and as the city of San Bernardino has been moving up, the sky is now lit up and I don't see as many stars. That's sad, you know. Now I'm going to have to drive out into the desert to see the stars. But I am reminded that God loves me. And in spite of, you know, and people say, well, you're lucky, Pastor, your dad was a minister. And so, you know, you have this wonderful, incredible picture of God and of being a father and all these things. No. There's no such thing, and I've told my boys this when they got a little smarter and a little older. There's no such thing as a perfect father on this earth. Or a perfect mother, even though some of you might think you are. There's no such thing because we are flawed. We are imperfect. Only God is perfect. He is the only perfect father. Okay? And he is the true essence of who a father is. So if you're looking for perfection, turn to God's word. Discover who your father is. Everything else is flawed. My father, yes. I'm not trying to be mean or nasty. I love my father dearly. I was the one that picked him up out of his car when he got old and carried him. He was so light. He used to carry me, and then I became stronger than him. I remember that day. And we're almost there with we're already there. My two boys are definitely stronger than I am now. But I remember carrying my father because he couldn't walk. I love my father. But my father was an absent father. Some of you might be able to understand that. If you had an alcoholic father or a drug addicted father, you had an absent father. All right? And you're saying, well, your dad was a minister. Was he on drugs? Yeah. Yeah, he was on a drug. It's called always too busy. And that becomes an absent father syndrome. Always too busy. That's okay. I've forgiven him. We've talked about it. I tried to not be that way. I wasn't perfect. I told my boys, I've made a lot of mistakes. You do a better job than me. And then that's good. Do a better job, okay? Will I be perfect? Will they be perfect? No, because we live in an imperfect world. But we have a Heavenly Father. He's the one that we can look to. He's the one that can be our example of what love is, of what being a father is. And anything we do as human fathers, anything we do as human mothers, is never going to meet that standard, folks. And quit trying to make it that standard. You're never going to be a perfect father or mother in the eyes of eternity, because God is the only perfect God. He is the only perfect Father. Doesn't mean we should give up, throw the towel in. No. It just means that we have the bar pretty high. Okay? We can always be reaching for that. All right? That's okay. That's what gives life meaning. If we were perfect, then there would be very little meaning. We'd all be walking around in white robes and walking and talking, acting like saints. But in this world, it's that the purpose of our life is to bring joy and happiness, to bring strength and courage, to bring love, to bring all those things. And that's our job. That's our job. All right? You know, it was once said that God put us on this earth so that He would see what we would do in eternity. What are you going to be doing in eternity? What kind of a father will you be in eternity? Got news for you. There won't be any big screen TVs in heaven. And if you just want to sit there and watch TV while your son is begging you to come out and shoot baskets with you, what are your priorities, Dad? That's just an example. We all get caught up in licking our own wounds. We all get caught up in trying to make ourselves feel good. But when you have a child that you're responsible for, and I don't care if it's your blood child or if it's somebody that God has put in your life to father, those people become more important. Those little ones become the child that you nurture. And regardless of how your child was nurtured, we have a higher standard. You know, the big thing today is, well, you know, I am the way I am because of my dad. I am the way I am because of my mom. I am the way I am because of the way I was bullied in high school. I am the way I am. Come on. That's pop psychology. Get over it. Get over it. You want to see a good example? Look at the story of Joseph. All right? Here's a kid whose dad really got it wrong. He told him, hey, you're the greatest. You're the greatest. You're my favorite son. I will just dump all kinds of good things in your life. I want you to become this, and I want you to become that. I want you to be the quarterback for the Raiders. I want you to be the greatest, because you are the greatest and you can be the greatest. And he pumped him up. In the meantime, ignoring his other sons. He paid a big price. Favoritism in raising children is never a good thing. Never. Whether you're a mom or a dad or a grandma or grandpa, you do not show favoritism. You treat each child and you meet the needs of that particular child, because that child is unique. That child is a creation of God. I told my son when I looked at his little boy a couple weeks ago, the first time I looked at him, I had tears in my eyes. I could not believe how perfect and flawless that child was. His head was perfectly round. Didn't have scratch marks on his face or his body. Moms know what I'm talking about. Dads go, what? He was perfect. Flawless little guy. 6 pounds, 11 ounces. All right, now he's over 7. So he's growing already. And I looked at that and I turned to my son. He was standing right in front of me. And I said, this is a miracle. You don't ever say in your life, I've never seen a miracle. This is a miracle. You stop to think of what it takes for that little child to become what it is. Okay, a human being. It is a miracle. God is still performing miracles. He said, well, what about the child that doesn't, you know, is born with some deformities or problems, you know? I remember I used to think that a lot. I worried a lot about that before our boys were born, and even before our grandkids, grandboys. We have only boys in our family. My wife hates that, but that's true. And then I watched a couple of videos of people who have accomplished incredible, incredible lives, who were born without arms and legs, and how they're a testimony to the will and the power of God in their lives. You see? Whatever happened to taking what you have and what God has given you and letting that glorify Him? You want to sit at home and whine and fuss and complain and talk about how terrible everything's been to you and how God hasn't treated you right and blah, 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 blah. You want to go and do that? That's fine. But you know what? You're never going to glorify God. And the bottom line is, folks, that's why we're here. Oh, well, I thought I was here so that I could get a lot of money and I could get a big career and I could do this. Hey, that's fine. If that's where God's leading you, but remember that we are here for one purpose, and that is to glorify God. Take a look at our passage again. And as far as I'm concerned, this particular passage is a very one of my favorites, because most of you probably at least know one text from the Bible by memory, right? Right? John 3:16. I mean, you see it at football games. You see it on signs on the freeway. People know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means you and me and everybody else, whosoever believes, there's the key that unlocks the door of salvation. Whoever believes in Him should not what? Perish, but have eternal life. Is the only, if that was the only page or passage of scripture that you had, if you had nothing else, that tells it all. For God loves us. Over and over and over throughout the scriptures, the Bible tells us that we have a loving God, we have a sustaining God, we have a caring God, we have a wise God, we have a faithful God, we have a strong and mighty God, we have a beautiful God. Wow, there aren't enough cards to be written describing our Heavenly Father, right? Huh. And by the way, when I get cards on Father's Day or birthdays, those are the two times that I get cards. You know, boy, let me tell you something for the ladies and the young ladies that aren't married yet or whatever, or even older ladies, you'll probably know. Men are great, you know, when you're looking at them, you know, eye to eye, face to face, and then somehow they forget things, all right? I'm telling on myself, but actually I'm pretty good at this. You'll have to ask my wife if it's true. But the point is, sometimes we forget. And I can always tell because I'm a little bit that way too. And I'm over there, you know, 11 o'clock at night, Stater Brothers, looking at birthday cards or Mother's Day cards the night before, And like my wife who has a card, a box full of cards, you know. But I'm over there trying to decide which one's the best. And I suddenly look around and there's probably 20 guys around me, you know, and they're all doing the same thing. And they're all about the same age as me, you know. And we're looking through these cards. Sometimes we're even fighting over the same card. The point is that none of us will ever be perfect. None of us will ever be 110% on time or accurate or whatever, because we are flawed. We are human beings. Give us a break, all right? Okay, ladies? Because all women are perfect. They never forget. Is today Father's Day? It's tomorrow. Okay, I'm still waiting for my cards then. They haven't come early. Okay, but here's the thing. This, look at the passage, if you will. Oh, and by the way, whenever I read a card, I act like I'm interested in the cover, and I try to read the piece inside, you know, whatever it says, if it's a poem or just a phrase, you know, you're the greatest or whatever. But I'm more interested in what has been written in that card than anything else. None of the other stuff is just fluff. I want to know what my sons have to say to me. And I don't want a bunch of gooey, gushy stuff. I want to know how they really feel about me. Now, they won't hear this sermon, so that's a secret between us. I am interested, and so let's take a look here. First, I want to read the passage briefly and point out some of the highlights of our text. John 3:13-18 says, "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven." No one has ever gone to heaven except the one who came from heaven. And that is the Son of Man, Jesus. "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness..." By the way, why was the snake lifted up in the wilderness? To bring healing to those who had been bitten by the venomous snakes. So, if you ever go see a doctor and he's wearing a little pin on his lapel here, it's a pole, sometimes it's a cross, but usually it's just a pole with a snake wand around, and you go, what is he into, the occult? No. That is an ancient symbol of healing, and it goes right back directly to the children of Israel in the Sinai Desert. And Moses was instructed to make a serpent, bronze serpent, around a pole, and it was held up, and all who looked at it were healed. The ones who didn't look at it died from the bites. So, just a little background history there. So, just as that was held up in the desert to bring healing, so what does it say? I can't hear you. Okay, as Moses lifted up the snake, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Lifted up. What does it mean? Lifted up. Glorified. And glorified. That's a word. Mine says lifted up. Okay. Because it's talking about Jesus on the cross. And when Jesus died on the cross, as Marty pointed out earlier, but when Jesus died on the cross, what happened? Suddenly, everything switched. We were all condemned to die. Isn't that right? The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God, who was Jesus Christ, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. Do you see it? So when Jesus died on the cross, when he was lifted up on the cross, everything changed. We went from the curse of death and sin to salvation and eternal life. In one instant, when Jesus said, "It is finished," in that instant, everything changed in this world. Everything. Because Jesus brought life eternal through his death on the cross. And so, going back to our passage here, it said, "So the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." Everyone who believes in a denomination, does all the right things, keeps a checklist of all their things they do perfectly. Is that what it says? Everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. Believing is the key that unlocks your relationship that brings you eternal life. Believing. All right? Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. There's that word believe again. But whoever does not believe stands what? Condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Now why would you stand condemned if you didn't believe in Jesus? Because we're told over and over and over again in the scriptures that salvation only comes through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That it only comes through his death and his resurrection. That is our only hope of eternal life. And anything or anybody who teaches anything else than that is not teaching good news. Amen. They're teaching denominationalism. Buddhism, Hinduism, shamanism, Methodism, Lutheranism, Adventism, Baptism. They're teaching a set of rules to get into a club. But the Bible clearly says that we are saved only. Saved, that's the key word. Only through Jesus Christ. And if you try any other way, whoever does not believe stands condemned. Try any other way, you stand condemned. It's not, you know, it's not, you've condemned yourself. God's not condemning you. You have to believe in Jesus Christ, God's Son, to have eternal life. Simple as that. And don't you let all those rules stand in the way of you believing in God's Son. That's where you start. You start by believing in Jesus Christ, who was lifted up for the salvation of this world. That's where it starts. And then if you want to start your own brand of Christianity, I guess if God told you to do it, I'm not going to stand away and say I shouldn't do it. Because there's plenty of them out there. But if it doesn't start with Jesus Christ, and if it lifts up something else or someone else, then it's not Christianity, it is a cult. Oh, but they're so cleverly hidden and so cleverly disguised and so cleverly camouflaged that sometimes, unfortunately, even when I was younger, I mean, I grew up in the era of that great movement there in Oakland, you know. Jim Jones led that wonderful group of people to their final death. I lived to watch David Koresh, who visited my youth group in Anaheim years ago. I didn't know who he was until after I saw his face, and I said, oh, I remember when he visited my youth group. And then he went to Hawaii and he took a couple of my father's members and a couple of one of my pastor friends over there, took a couple of their members, and they died in the flames. So I know what it's about. If you follow men, if you follow denominations, if you follow movements, if you follow cults, you're on your own, folks. But if you follow Jesus, you have eternal life. Isn't that beautiful? Follow Jesus. And so, I'm gonna close with just this thought. And I tried to look through the scriptures, especially the Gospels, for a passage of scripture that was Jesus talking about him and talking about his Father. And there's so many of them, I challenge you to go home and read them all. There's a whole bunch of them. John chapter 5 verse 19, beginning with, let me back up here. John 5, by the way, John was the closest friend that Jesus had on earth. You're saying, well, you mean Jesus showed favoritism? Well, I don't know if you call it favoritism, but when there's only one or two people really listening to you, they're going to probably be your closest allies and friends. Who were the two that stood under the cross when Jesus was dying? All 12? No, the scriptures tell us John, Mary, the mother, and who else? Mary Magdalene. Who was the first one to go and see the resurrected Lord? Mary. Who was the last disciple to die a martyr's death? John. Is it okay for Jesus to have close friends? People who were willing to go to the cross with him and die if necessary? All the other disciples were hiding because they were afraid that the Jews were going to kill them next. John was not afraid. And I have this theory. I can have theories, right? Grandpa used to call them sanctified imagination. He was a good minister. And he had a great imagination. In fact, his son, one of his sons became a cartoonist that did some early cartoon work for some of the early Hanna-Barbera and stuff like that. But I have a theory that Jesus kept John around until he died of old age, because he wanted to keep him as long as he could. We all want our friends to live as long as they can, right? Our parents, our fathers, right? That's a theory. Take it for what it's worth. Don't go home and pick up the phone and say, "Oh, you know, the pastor just said." No. My imagination sometimes goes way out there, but that's okay. All right, so here we go in chapter 5, starting with verse 19. Jesus gave them this answer. You see, the Pharisees are all, they've kind of surrounded Jesus and they were arguing with him, and verse 16 says, "So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, breaking their club rules, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, 'My Father is always at his work. To this very day, I too am working.'" Oh, wow. So right away, he identifies with his roots. He identifies with his father. Isn't that interesting? And what does verse 18 say? Because he identified with his father, the reason the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. You know, it's really sad when people are so insistent that they're right, they're willing to kill someone else for that. Have you ever noticed that people that are set on themselves always being right are the ones that sometimes yell the loudest and scream the loudest and are willing to march or do whatever they need to do to prove that they're right? It's interesting because here it's very clear. They wanted to kill Jesus because of what he said and what he believed. Verse 19, Jesus gave them this answer. Here's his answer. Here's Jesus, Father's Day card to his father. "I tell you the truth, the son can do nothing. I can't do anything without my father." You like that? That'd be a great one. "Dad, I can't do anything without you. Happy Father's Day." He can do only what he sees his father doing. "Dad, because you did this and this and this, I want to do it too. I want to follow in your footsteps. Because whatever the father does, the son does also. Dad, I copy you. I do what you do. I want to be like you. For the father loves the son. Dad, thanks for loving me. And shows him all he does." No secrets between dad and son. Boy, wouldn't that be great if dads were willing to say it and to say truthfully what they're really like and not hide anything? "Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raised the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it." Father like son. "Moreover, the Father judges no one." Now wait a minute, we read a text not too long ago that Jesus, something about Jesus judging? but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. Okay, there it is. That all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. That goes on. One of the greatest concerns that I have as a father and now a grandfather is that I will bring honor to my grandfather and great-grandfather and my father, but also that my life will become worthy to be emulated, to be copied, to be quoted, to be followed. And when I say that, I'm filled with fear, actually. Even just saying it, I think, oh, not me. Don't copy me. But it's beautiful to know that we have a Heavenly Father who is worthy to follow, who is glorified whenever we glorify Him. And like any father, He is saddened when we go the opposite direction. But not sad to the point of anger or revenge. Sad to the point of where He's even told a story in the Bible about the prodigal son. And if you haven't read that story, you need to look it up and read it, because it says the prodigal son, and we often come to the conclusion the prodigal son was the one that went away and came back and begged for God, his father to show mercy and on. And yet the prodigal son was the one who stayed with the father and then refused to accept the fact that the father was loving. Wow. He was loving and merciful. And the scripture says that older son walked away into darkness. That's heavy. You see, we have a God who's merciful. We have a Father who's loving. We have a Father who's unconditionally loving towards us. But as the scripture we read this morning says, we must first believe. We must first believe. Believe. And follow. He is loving. He is great. He is merciful. He is glorious. He is sovereign. He is all the things and more that we can say. So much more. So much more. He was willing to give His Son to us as an offering so that we might have peace with God and eternal life. Father, we thank You so much for the fact that You love us as a father loves his children. You have called us Your children. And we really fall short of that. But we know that when we ask, we call upon Your name and we ask for forgiveness, that You will forgive us. Scriptures tell us while we were yet in our sin, Christ died for us. So Your love is not conditional on our condition. It's conditional on the fact that Jesus did die for us and gave us life eternal. Help us to never forget that. And if our fathers on this earth are lacking, if they have fallen short, please warm our hearts with heavenly love that the Father shows towards us. And help us never lose sight of Your love. We ask in Your name. Amen.